B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Tezayin. We're going to start four lines from the top of the Omud. And as in the previous Gemara, we've mentioned the concept of Nidui, Cherem, Shamto, which Nidui and Shamto is the same thing. It's an excommunication. There's a more severe type of excommunication, which is called a Cherem, and we've learned a little bit about it in the previous Gemara. So now we're going to learn more about Nidui and Cherem. Says the Gemara, V'omarova. One of the ways, maybe the most primary one, the most common one, that a person would get nidui is when he's called to Beis Din. When Beis Din send an agent, send a shliach to call somebody to Beis Din, and he doesn't come, he doesn't comply, somebody who doesn't comply with Beis Din gets punished by, gets fined, he gets excommunicated. And we've mentioned this already previously, and Rava says, Minolon de Meshadrinon Shlicha. How do you know that in order for a person to be called non-compliant to Beis Din, it's sufficient if an agent comes to call him? Shlicha de Beis Din, an agent of the Beis Din, or Mezamnin Leila Dina, and it's the agent that's going to invite him and going to call him to the Beis Din. Says the Gemara d'Chsiv, it's learned out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach Moshe likrei ledosam v'la'aviram." It was Moshe who sent an agent to call Dosam and Aviram b'nei Eliyav and to call them to Moshe Rabbeinu. U'minolon d'mezamninon ledina. What would be the source in the first place that there's a requirement to call somebody to din Torah when necessary? D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, "Vayoymer Moshe el Korach." Moshe Rabbeinu said to Korach, "Ata v'chol adoscha, you and your whole camp, heyu lifnei Hashem, ata v'heim v'aron mochor." Since there's a discussion, an argument between you and Aaron HaKohen, who's the Kohen Gadol, I want you and anyone who's representing you, together with Aaron, to come to the Beis Din, and we'll work it out. So, and the Mefarshim, the Rishonim here, they discuss that what's the difference between the first question of the Gemara, the second question of the Gemara, what do we see in one Pasuk, what do we see in the other Pasuk, but either way, that's the basic reading of the Gemara. Lekame Gavra Rabba, what would be a source that when you do invite somebody to come to Beis Din, you call him to Beis Din, that you actually have to tell him that you're being called by whoever it is, this prominent person who's going to be mentioned by name. T'chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem, in that Pasuk we just mentioned, Moshe said to Korach that you're invited to come to Beis Din before Lifnei Hashem. And since he mentioned who's the one that the court case is going to be in front of, you see from there that one has to mention Lekame Gavra Rabba, that you're going to be judged by X prominent person. At Uplanya, what would be a source that when you invite a person to come to Beis Din, you have to tell him you and the other side are being called to Beis Din? D'chsiv, it says in that Pasuk, Ato v'chol adoscho heyu lifnei Hashem, ato vohem v'aroin mochor, that you, Korach, are called to Beis Din, and also Aaron HaKohen, the one who's arguing with you, or you're arguing with him. And both sides are mentioned, so you see from there that when you call somebody to Beis Din, you have to mention both sides. D'kov'inon zimna, how do you know that when you call somebody to Beis Din, then you have to give him an exact time when he's expected to come to Beis Din? D'chsiv, it says again in that same pasuk, mochor, the Moshe Rabbeinu told Korach exactly which time he's expected to come to Beis Din. Zimna bosor zimna, how do you see that if a person doesn't come to the Beis Din after the first time he's called, you call him again? And these are all halachos, which are prerequisites that if a person doesn't comply, ultimately he will be given a cherem, he'll be put into nidui, he'll be excommunicated. D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, in Yirmiya, Kor'u shom par'oi melech mitzrayim, sho'in he'evir hamoyed. That it says there that being that he, or since he didn't come at the appointed time, we're calling him again to the Beis Din. So you see in that pasuk that if a person doesn't come once, you invite him, you call him a second time. U'minolon di'i mispakir b'shlicho de Beis Din. How do we know that if he's behaving in a derogatory way and disrespectfully to the agent of the Beis Din, v'osi v'omar, and then the agent of the Beis Din actually come back and report back to the Beis Din about the misconduct of the person that was told to come to Beis Din, that lo mischazi kalishna bishna, that would not be considered lashon hara, and it's okay. D'chsib, it says in the pasuk, Afloy el eretz zovas cholov udvosh hevi yisonu vatitenonu nachlas sode v'chorem ha'enei ho'anoshim ho'heim tenakir loy nale. The Moshe Rabbeinu was aware that when he called Dosam and Aviram to come to him, then Dosam and Aviram said, even if you're going to gore out our eyes, we're not going to come. Well, that's a very inappropriate way of responding to the agent of Moshe Rabbeinu. But how did Moshe Rabbeinu know about this? It must be the agent reported it to him. So you see that it's incumbent upon the agent to report back when there's a misconduct on the part of the person who is being called to Beis Din. And where do we see what would be the source that if this person doesn't come when Beis Din call him? And actually, anybody that doesn't come and doesn't behave appropriately, how do we know that Meshamtinon, that there is a concept of excommunication? Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Oyru Meiroiz. Meiroiz, we'll soon see who that was, but Meiroiz should have a curse. Tehachi Sovra Gavra Rabba. How do you know that what would be the source that when you excommunicate somebody, you actually have to make it clear that the excommunication is being done based on a decision of a great person? Tichsiv, it says in that pasuk, Oyru Meiroiz, Omar Malach Hashem, an agent of Hashem, referring to Baruch ben Avinoam, he was the one that decided to excommunicate and curse Meiroiz. Uminoland Mach Ruminon. And how do you know that? And sometimes we even put a person into cherem. Says the Gemara Dichsiv. It says in the pasuk Oyru Oroyr that the cursed is cursed, which means there's an added level of excommunication. That means besides being excommunicated, he's also cursed. Da'ochil v'shosi behadei. What would be the source that even the people who eat and drink and spend time with him are also included in that cherem? V'koi bar ba'amis today, and people who are in close proximity within four amos of this person is also included in that cherem. Tichsiv, it says in that pasuk, Oyru Meiroiz, Omar Malach Hashem, Oyru Oroir, Yoishveho. Yoishveho means the inhabitants of, it means anyone who's in close contact with this Meiroiz, who is cursed, who's doubly cursed, who's been excommunicated, that are also included. How do you know that when you publicize this excommunication, that you actually specify publicly why he's been excommunicated? It says in that pasuk, because this Meiroiz, it was expected of Meiroiz to help Baruch to come and protect Klal Yisrael, and he didn't come, and since he didn't heed to the calling of Baruch, therefore he was excommunicated. So you see that they publicized the reason why he was excommunicated. Ula says, how did the excommunication take place? Bedalad meo shipure, with 400 shofros, with blows of the shofar, shamte Baruch excommunicated Lemiroiz Moroiz. And that was the way that it was made public, and they publicized the excommunication against Meiroiz. Ikad Omra, now who is this Meiroiz? Some suggest Gavra Rabba Hava. It was a big person, a well-known person. V'ikad Omra, there's another explanation that says, others say, Koich V'Hava. It was actually a star, the muzzle, the constellation of Sisra, whom Baruch ben Avinoam was actually fighting against, and it was that star that was actually being called to aid Klal Yisrael, and didn't. And therefore it was, so to speak, excommunicated. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, in the same perek there, a few psukim earlier actually, min shomayim nilchomu, from the skies that they were fighting, hakoichovim mimesiloisom nilchomu im Sisra, the stars from their orbits were fighting against Sisra. How do you know that in certain circumstances when somebody is excommunicated, they actually say that his property is ownerless? They can just be mafkir, make hefker his property. Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk in Ezra, and this was Ezra's response to those who had married non-Jewish women, where the Pasuk says, V'chayla shelo yovei l'shloishes hayomim, anyone who's not going to come in 3 days, ba'atzas asorim, as proposed by the princes, v'azkenim, and the elders, yochoram kol rechushoi, all his property will be confiscated, v'hu yibodil mikhal ha'goyla, and he will be he will be like separated from the congregation that were in exile. He's going to be excommunicated, and his rechush, his property, is going to be confiscated. And this is actually the source to a halacha that we're going to learn about later on in Shas, called Hefker Beis Din Hefker, that Beis Din actually have the power to confiscate property from somebody. Uminolon de notzinon. How do we know that in certain cases we actually fight velaitinon, and we curse umochinon, and we strike vetolshinon seor, and we tear out his hair umashbiinon, we compel them to swear? How do we know that Beis Din have the power to do all these things? Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk in Nehemiah, va'oriv imom, and I've contended with them, va'akalaleim, and cursed them, va'akem mehem, and have beat them, and va'akem mehem anoshim, I've beat their people, va'amartem, and I've pulled out their hair, torn out their hair, va'ashbiem be'loikim, and I've made them swear. So you see that Beis Din have the power to do these things. Uminolon, and from where do we see the kofsinon, that we tie up, sometimes Beis Din have to tie up a person's hands and feet, va'asrinon, and tie him to a post, and besides for that, va'avdinon hardofa, and they perform something called hardofa, which means pursuit. It means, we'll soon see what the hardofa is. Dichsiv, as it says in the pasuk, again in Ezra, it says, v'chol di loy lehevi ovid doso di elohoch v'doso di malko osparno dino lehevi misavid minei hein lemois hein lishroishi hein leanosh nichsin v'leesurin. So these are all things that are mentioned here, which are hein lemois, hein lishroishi. Lishroishi means uprooted. Hein lemois means sometimes to kill. Lishroishi means to uprooted. Hein leanosh, to punish. Lehanosh nichsin is to punish their property, to confiscate their property. Ula vele esurin, which is imprisonment, that sometimes one can even imprison a person. Now the Gemara is going to explain. What does it mean, lishroishi? Omar Adab Mori, Abba Mori said, hardofa, it means pursuit, it means the hardofa that we mentioned before. Omer of Yehuda, Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmeid Rav, it was said in the name of Rav, Menadin Le'altar, that what this hardofa means is that he is immediately excommunicated. That there are cases that we actually don't give them more time. Sometimes there's a warning and another warning. No, immediately that he's excommunicated. V'shoinin Le'achar Lamed, and then after 30 days, one repeats the excommunication for another 30 days. Umachrimin Le'achar Shishim, and then after 60 days, he's actually put into Chirim, which is a more severe type of excommunication, as we saw in Daf Tezvav. Omle Rav Huna Bar Chinuno, Hocha Omer Rav Chizda. It was said in the name of Rav Chizda, different to what Rav said. Rav said that Menadin Altar, that we immediately excommunicate him. Rav Chizda said no. Masrin Bey, you first warn him, Sheini v'chamishi v'sheini. You warn him on Monday, and then you excommunicate him. And then you warn him again on Thursday, and then you excommunicate him again. And then you warn him again on Monday, and then you put him into Chirim. That means, whereas Rav says that you first put him immediately into Chirim, 30 days Chirim, and then 30 days Nidui. Another 30 days Nidui, 60 days Chirim. Rav Chizda says no. Rav Chizda says warning on a Monday, and then immediately a Nidui. Warn him on a Thursday, and then a Nidui. Warn him the next Monday, and then immediately a Chirim. That it goes much faster than that of Rav. Hanamila lemamayna, and that is all true when the issue is monetary issues. Avalef kirusa. However, if there's a contempt against Torah, against the people who are learning and keeping Torah, then le'altar, then without any warning, Rav Chizda says there's no warnings, immediately we excommunicate somebody who is behaving disrespectfully against Torah and those who represent it. Continues the Gemara, who tabcha? There was this butcher, the ispakir, he was behaving inappropriately against Berav Tovi Bar Masna. Imnuale, they appointed somebody to investigate the incident, Abayev Rav was told to investigate the behavior of this butcher and decide what to do with him. Veshamtuhu, and Abayev Rav came to the conclusion that he needs to be excommunicated. Lesoif, what happened at some point after that? Ozal Paisei Lebal Dine. This butcher went to Rav Tovi Bar Masna to appease him, to make up with him. Omar Abaya. Now Abaya took personal interest and responsibility in this and determining what should be our next step. Hey Chalavad, what should we do? Lishrele, should we release him from his excommunication? Loichol Shamte Aleit Losin Yoimin. He hasn't been in a state of excommunication for 30 days. Loi Lishrele, are we not going to release him? Kaboya Rabbonon Lemeel. Which, according to the Rashi here, then it means that the Rabbonon, the Chachomim, want to go to him in order to buy meat from his store. And if he's in a state of excommunication, then they can't do that, which means that the Talmidei Chachomim need this person to be in a state of not excommunicated. Is that a reason to release him? Others say that it means that the Chachomim actually wanted to leave the town. That means those who excommunicated him, at least some of them were planning to leave town. And if they're going to leave town, who's going to excommunicate? Who's going to release the excommunication? We're going to soon learn that whoever puts a person into excommunication has to be the one to release him. So either way, Abaya had this issue. What are we going to do here? Omar Lei, Lerv Idi Bar Ovin. So Abaya said to Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Midi Shmir Lecha Baha, did you ever hear any of the Chachomim, any of your Rebbes discussing what we should do in such a situation? Omar Lehochi, Omar of Tachlifa Bar Avimi Omar Shmuel. He says, I'll tell you what I heard in the name of Shmuel. Tut, Osor. Tut is the sound, what we might say in English, tut, but it's the sound of a shofar. Tut, Osor, it was the sounding of the shofar that actually restricted him, that put him into the state of excommunication, v'tut shari, and as long as you release him with the shofaros, it's okay, even though it's less than 30 days. Omar leis, Abaya said to Rav Tachlifa, hanem mili lemamoino, that might only be true when we put him into excommunication for monetary issues. Avol leif kirusa, but somebody who was behaving with contempt and inappropriately to the Chachmei Yisrael, over there, do we not have to make sure that he's in a state of excommunication at least for 30 days? And the Gemara says, from the fact that Abaya took personal responsibility to look into this, Alma, we see that Kosovar Abaya held Hani Beit Losa. If you've got three Chachomim, three Dayonim, Deshamitu, that put somebody into Chirim, Leosu Tlosa Achrina, you can't have another different three people, Vesharulei, to release him from the Nidui, from the excommunication. Diboyelu Hani Beit Losa, because this was actually a discussion. And they asked, Hani Beit Losa de Shamitu, Mahu Lemaiset Losa Achrina Vesharulei. It was a question in the Beis HaMedrash. If three people put somebody into Chirim, into Nidui, into Shamto, can somebody else, another three people, a different three people, release him? Toshima. And we brought proof from the following. And we're going to see this later on Daf Yud Zayin. Menudo l'rav, the halacha is that if somebody was excommunicated again because of his conduct to a rav, to a teacher, and that means that he is excommunicated from the teacher, menudo l'talmid, the excommunication is also valid to all those who are of less caliber, of less level than the rav, all the students. However, menudo l'talmid, if somebody is only excommunicated because he was disrespectful to a talmid, to a disciple, eine menudo l'rav, then to people on the level of the rav, of the teacher, against them, the excommunication didn't apply. Menudo le'iroi, if he was excommunicated in his city, menudo le'ir acheres, then he's also in excommunication if for other cities as well. Menudo le'ir acheres, eine menudo le'iroi. But if he was only excommunicated to different cities, then in his own city he's not excommunicated. Menudo le'nosi, if somebody was excommunicated because of the way that he was treating the nosi, the leader of Klal Yisrael, menudo le'chol Yisrael, then he's excommunicated from all of Klal Yisrael. Menudo l'chol Yisrael, eine menudo l'nosi. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, Echod min ha-talmidim shenido. If one of the Chachomim, one of the Talmidim, actually put somebody into Chirim, umeis, and then that person who put the somebody else into Chirim died, then chelkoi, then his part of the Chirim, eine mufur. It was never going to be able to be undone. Shma mino tlas. We see from this brisa three halachas. Shma mino talmid shenidol lichvoidoi niduyov nidui. We see that a talmid on his own can just excommunicate somebody else when that somebody else just hurt or spoke inappropriately to him. Ushma mino. We also see from this brisa kol echod ve'echod mefer chelkoi, that each person, if three people put somebody into excommunication, then each one can independently undo and release that person of his part. And obviously, you know, they can do it on their own, but he obviously has to be released from all the parts. Ushma mino hani beit losa de shemito. We see from here that if three people put somebody into chayrim, le'osut losa achrina, another three people can't come v'sharule and release him. So you see here that, and this is why we brought this brisa, that we see here that, and this is why Abaye himself, who was the one responsible for the excommunication, was the one to take responsibility to make sure to determine whether he has to undo it, because since he put him into chayrim, he's the one that has to release him, as we just learned. Omar Ameima, Ameima said, Hilchas said, Aloch is Hanu Beit Losa de Shemitu, Osi Beit Losa Achrina Vashorile. Ameima says, the Aloch is not like we just learned. The Aloch is that if three people put somebody into Chayrim, a different three people can release him. Omele Ravashi la Ameima. Ravashi asked Ameima exactly from the Braisa we just brought proof from. Votani, did we not just learn in the Braisa? Rab Shem ben Gamliel Oimir, Echod min Talmidim Shenido, if one of the Talmidim put somebody into Chayrim, into Nidui, Umeis, and then this person died, the one who put the other one into chayrim, chelko eine mufer, his part is not released. My love, eine mufer klal. Does it not mean that his part is never ever going to be released because nobody else can release somebody else's nidui? Says the Gemara, no. Or at least this is how Ameimer explained and said no. Ad de osu beit losa achrina v'sharole. What it means is that if he didn't manage to undo, to release his part in the nidui, then that part is still there, even though this person's died. It's too bad, he's dead. But somebody else can come and release it. If another three people come and release the chayrim, the nidui, then it is released. And when it says that the part of the deceased person doesn't get released, that's only all the while that somebody else doesn't come and undo it. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Ein nidui pochis milamed yom. We saw this before. Excommunication is always valid for a minimum of 30 days. Ve'ein nazifa. Nazifa is a lesser level of, maybe it should be called excommunication, but it's not really excommunication, it's just a rebuke. And it's called nazifa, something which is, we expect a person to stay away from the one who rebuked him, but it doesn't have the stringencies of excommunication. And ve'ein nazifa pochis mizayin yomim, somebody who's been rebuked is in that state of nazifa for at least 7 days. Even though we don't have any solid proof to this, we have an allusion to it, a hint to it, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, V'oviho yoroik yorak befoneo, haloisikolim shivas yomim. And this was the response against Miriam and Avia, who spoke on her level, said something which she shouldn't have said regarding Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says there, Haloi Sikolim, that she was humiliated Shivas Yomim for 7 days. So you see that the concept of Nazifa is one that is at least for 7 days. Omer of Chizda. Rav Chizda said, Nidui Shelonu, but us in Bovel, Nidui is less powerful than in Eretz Yisrael. It's Kenazifa Shelahem. That the Nidui, the minimum amount of time of excommunication in Bovel, is just 7 days, the length of time of Nazifa in Eretz Yisrael. O Nazifa Didhu, and the rebuking time, the nazifa in Eretz Yisrael, shiva is 7 days, as we just saw. Vesu, loy. The question is that in Eretz Yisrael is nazifa only 7 days, as we just said. V'Rab Shimon bar Rebbi, Rab Shimon the son of Rebbi, ubar kapora, and another chacham called bar kapora, have a yasu v'kogorosi. They were sitting and they were learning Torah. Kashilu shmeitza. They had a question on something they were learning. Omale Rab Shimon the bar kapora. So Rav Shimon said to Bar Kapora, we don't know how to resolve this. Dovo zetzorech Rebbe. Go to my father Rebbe. Let's ask him. Omale Bar Kapora l'Rav Shimon. Bar Kapora said to Rav Shimon, Ma Rebbe Oimer b'dovo zeh. This is such a complex issue. What would your father Rebbe even have what to say about this? Ozal omar le'avua. So Reb Shimon went. He didn't go with the intentions of bad-mouthing Bar Kapora, but in passing, he just mentioned the incident to his father, to Rebbe. And Ikbid, and Rebbe was Makbid. He held it somewhat against Bar Kapora. You have a question, why didn't you come and ask me? Osir Bar Kapora l'schazile. At some point, Bar Kapora came to appear before Rebbe. Omar Lei. So Rebbe responded to Bar Kapora and said, Bar Kapora, you're Bar Kapora. Eini makir cha me'olam. I don't recognize you ever, any place, I don't know you. And he was more or less giving Bar Kapora to understand, do you realize that I have something in my heart against you? Yodad nokit milsa b'dayte. So Bar Kapora understood that Rebbe is rebuking him and had taken to heart the incident. And nohag nazifusa b'nafshei tlosin yoimin. So Bar Kapora acted as a state of nazifa, as having been rebuked by Rebbe for 30 days, not just for 7 days. That was so. How can you say that nazifa is 7 days? Here you see it's 30 days. And another incident. Shuv pamacha echod goza Rebbe shelo yishanu letalmidim b'shuk. At one point, Rebbe decreed that the teachers should not teach Torah publicly in the marketplace. My Dorash, where did he learn this from? He learned it from a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Mayofu pam pa'omayich banaolim basnodiv chamukei yereichayich. Hidden thigh, your hidden thighs, kamoi chaloim, like jewels, maisa yidei omon, the maisim, the acts of a craftsman. Ma yerech, in the same way as yerechayich, the thighs, abaseser, should be, they're covered, they're private, and they're beseser, they're hidden. After Divrei Torah, so to the Divrei Torah mentioned at the end of the pasuk, maisa yidei omon, the Torah that Hashem crafted, should also be besesa, should also be in private and not be taught publicly in the marketplace. However, Yotzer Reb Chia went out, v'shono l'shnei b'nei echov. Reb Chia had two nephews, and he taught the two nephews in Beshuk, in the marketplace. Who are the two nephews? L'rav u'l'rabba bar barchona. And we're not going to go into now how they were his nephews and what the story was. It's very, very interesting. Zerashi late and Davchof, Rashi and Psochim. It's a complicated issue. What exactly happened here with Reb Chia, who Reb Chia was, and how he was related to these two nephews. But it's not really the topic of discussion here. Reb Chia went against the instructions of Rebbe and taught in the marketplace his two nephews, Rav and Rabbi Bar Barchona. Shomar Rebbe and Ikbid. Rebbe heard and was upset. Also, Reb Chia l'schazoyle. At some point, Reb Chia came to appear before Rebbe. Omar Lei, and Rebbe responded to him, Aya, which is some derogatory term, Mikayu l'cho b'chutz. Maybe look if somebody's calling you outside. And his message was, you have no place here. And the way things are now, he was rebuking him for having taught Torah outside. Yoda denokit milse bedaite. So it became clear to Reb Chia that Rebbe held something in his heart against him. And nohag nezifusa b'nafshei. So he practiced the customs of Nezifa on himself, Tlos in Yoimin, 30 days. My great Rebbe, he was rebuking me. And there's a way you're supposed to respond to that. But Yoim Tlos in on the 30th day. 30 days hadn't been over. It was the 30th day. Sholachle, Rebbe called Reb Chia to call. He wanted to speak to Reb Chia. Now that Reb Chia was no longer in a state of Nezifa, he could call him. And Sholachle sent him a message, To, come. Hoda Sholachli, and then Rebbe actually sent a different agent, another messenger, and said, Deloila, I see, actually don't come today. The Gemara asks, Mikora Maikasova, what did you first think when you called him? Ulubasaif Maikasova, and afterwards when you changed your mind, what did you think? So the Gemara explains, Mikora Sova, at first Rebbe assumed, Miktsas Hayem Kekuloi. Part of the 30th day is considered as if it's the whole day. This is a concept in many places in Shas, Miktsas Hayem Kekuloi. He said 30 days is the minimum time of Nazifa. This is the 30th day. He's practiced part of the day by Nazifa. That's it. He's not in Nazifa anymore. I can call him. Afterwards, he assumed, and he said, maybe in this context, we don't use this concept of Miktsas Yom Kekulay. So he sent another agent and said, actually, he shouldn't come today. Today is still the 30th day. He's still in Nazifa. The Saif Osa, what actually happened was that Reb Chia actually came to Rebbe on this 30th day. Omar Leis, Rebbe said to Reb Chia, my Osis, why did you come? Amalei Reb Chiya said to Rebbe, "Deshalach li mar and deleisi, my master, you called me." So Rebbe responded, "Vashalchi lecha deleisi." But then I sent you another agent and said you shouldn't come. Amalei said, "So Reb Chiya said, I'm very sorry. Zera isi, the first one I saw, and therefore I came. Vazeloira isi, and the second one I didn't." See, Kori Olei, so Rebbe said about Reb Chiya that on you the Pasuk says, Birtzois, a Pasuk of Mishli, Birtzois Hashem, that Darke Ish, that when Hashem favors and desires the ways of man, of a person, Gam Oyev of Yashlim Itoy, Hashem causes that even his enemies should make up with him. And over here, so to speak, Rebbe wasn't his enemy, Chas V'Shalom, it was his Rebbe. But Rebbe said that Rebbe assumed that Reb Chiya was still in Nazifa. And nonetheless, the Hashem arranged it that Reb Chiya should come to Rebbe, and they made up. My tama ovid mar hochi. Now it was Rebbe's turn to ask Reb Chiya, you know that I made a decree and I said you shouldn't teach Torah in the marketplace. Why did you do that? Why did you teach your two nephews, Rav and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, in the public? Omar Leis, Reb Chiya said to Rebbe, Tichsiv actually understood the Pasuk that way. The Pasuk says in Mishli, Chochmois, wisdom, bachutz toroino, sings outside. Berchoivois, titen koilo. Omar Leis, so Rebbe said to Reb Chiya, that im korisa, if you read the psukim once, loy shaniso, you should have read it again, you didn't read it a second time. Vim shaniso, if you read it twice, loy shilashto, you didn't read it a third time. Vim shilashto, and if you read it three times and you still misunderstood it this way, loy pirushulucha, then obviously this pasuk was never explained to you. Because the words, chochmois bachutz taroino, that wisdom sings outside, kederava, is supposed to be understood like rava, do'amarava, kol ha'osek b'toira mibifnim, anybody that engages in Torah inside, on the quiet, Torah machrezes olav mibachutz, then the Torah proclaims about this person outside, and he becomes well known and famous. Asks the Gemara, v'hoksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, in Yeshaya, the Pasuk says, Kirvu elai shimu zois loy meirosh baseisa dibarti. At first, when I gave you the Torah, I didn't speak to you privately. It was a very public affair. Says the Gemara, so it's true that you see that sometimes Torah has to be spoken publicly. Ahu b'yayma dekala. That's in the days when there was a drasha and everybody is there all together. Then, of course, you speak Torah publicly. But other than that, when you're teaching Torah to your Talmidim, don't do it in the marketplace. Reb Chiya. Now the question is that Reb Chiya himself, what did he do? How did he understand the Pasuk from which Rebbe determined that you're not supposed to teach privately? That was the Pasuk of Chamukei Yerchayich. Hai Chamukei Yerchayich, my Ovidle. Does it not say over there that when serving Hashem, then one should do it like the thighs that are in private? Says the Gemara, Moikilo Bitstoko Bigmilus Chasodim. He understood that means that when you're doing good deeds and you're doing giving charity, you're giving tzedaka, do it in the private, but not referring to learning Torah, as Reb Chiya understood from the Pasuk of Chochmis Bachutz Toreina that Torah should be taught in public. But either way, Alma, we see from this whole incident that Reb Chiya practiced the Nazifa for how long? For 30 days. Nazifa did who? Tlos in Yoimin. So coming back to where we started on Amud Aleph, where it says that the Reb Chisda said that Nazifa is in Eretz Yisrael, the Nazifa is 7 days. Here we've seen two stories that Nazifa was for 30 days. Answers the Gemara, Nazifas Nosi Shani. Since Rebbe was the Nosi, the leader of Klal Yisrael, and therefore being rebuked by the Nosi is more severe than being rebuked by anyone else, by another Rebbe, and therefore it's not 7 days, it's 30 days. Says the Gemara, Unazifa didon kamahava, Nazifa rebuke in Bovel. We saw that regarding excommunication in Eretz Yisrael is 30 days, in Bovel is 7 days. Nazifa in Eretz Yisrael is 7 days, but Nazifa in Bovel is how long? Kamahava. Says the Gemara, Chad Yoima. Ki hada Shmuel umar ukva, as we're about to see, it's just 1 day. As in the following, we see in an incident that Shmuel Umar and Mar Ukva, ki have a Yosef Garosi Shmaitza, they were sitting and learning Torah together. Have a Yosef Mar Ukva Kameidu Shmuel. Shmuel, who was more learned, who was greater than Mar Ukva, and therefore it was Mar Ukva who sat in front of Shmuel, Barochik Dalad Amis, 4 Amis from him. Vechiavi Yosef Bedina, However, when they were in the Beis Din, then Hava Yosef Shmuel Kamei de Mar Ukva, then Mar Ukva, who was the Av Beis Din, he was the more prominent one, and Shmuel was the one that was sitting Barochik Daradam was 4 amis away from Mar Ukva, so to speak, Mar Ukva was the greater one, the more prominent one in the Beis Din. However, we have a Chaykile Duchtel Mar Ukva. However, Mar Ukva sat in a way, the word Chayki means they dug out, but the way that he was sitting was such that they dug it out, it was lowered down a little bit, and Betsifta, and it was covered with a mat. The Yosef Ilavei and Shmuel, even though Shmuel was less prominent in the Beis Din, but Shmuel was definitely the greater, more learned one between the two, and therefore it was Shmuel that was sitting somewhat in a higher up position than the Av Beis Din, then Mar Ukva, kihecha delishtamon milei, in order that Mar Ukva should be able to be able to hear everything that the greater Talmud Chacham Shmuel was saying. And every day, Mar Ukva would escort the greater Talmud Chacham Shmuel Adosh Biza until his lodging place, until where he was staying. It happened one day, and Itrid Bedine, Mar Ukva was very much preoccupied with the Din Torah, with what was going on in the Beis Din, and we shouldn't call it absent-mindedly, but his mind was like focused on the Beis Din and not on the fact that he was supposed to be escorting Shmuel. Hava Ozel Shmuel Basrei. So instead of Mar Ukva realizing he's supposed to be walking behind Shmuel, he just walked ahead of Shmuel, and Shmuel was walking behind him, which was inappropriate. No bad intentions meant. He was just very much, his mind was just not there. Kimote Lebesa, when they got to the home of Mar Ukva, Omar Le, Shmuel said to Mar Ukva, Loi Noga Lecha? Are your actions not clear to you? Do you not see what's going on here? But the custom was, and the halacha is, that you don't leave when you're accompanying somebody else, you don't leave before taking permission. Literally, Mar Betigre, at least give me permission now to continue on my way to go home. And there's a number of different explanations here, exactly what was going on, what message he was trying to give him, but that's the basic reading of the Gemara. Yoda denokit milse bedaiti. Mar Ukva now realized that Shmuel had taken this to heart and was rebuking him. Nohag nezivusa benafshei. So Mar Ukva practiced the customs of nezifa, of having been rebuked, chad yema, just one day. So you see that in Bovel, the nezifa was just one day. Continues the Gemara. Hahi itza dehavis yosva bishvila. There was this woman that was sitting in the pathway. Havas poshto kari, and her leg was extended onto the path. Vekomanifo chushloi. And she was winnowing the barley seeds. And then a Talmud Chacham was walking past. She didn't humbly take her legs back in and make space for this Talmud Chacham. Omar, so this Talmud Chacham said, how brazen is this woman? So this woman now came to Rav Nachman, Omar Le, and asked Rav Nachman, and Omar lo, so that means this woman came to Rav Nachman and said, this Talmud Chacham walked past and said that I'm brazen. What's my status? Did he excommunicate me? Do I need to keep the halachas of excommunication? What's the story? Omar lo. So Rav Nachman said to this woman, Mishomus shamto mipume. Did you hear him actually use the word shamto, which means to excommunicate? Omro le. So this woman said to Rav Nachman, loy, actually not. Omar lo. So the Rav Nachman said to this woman, Zili nohugi nezivusa chad yoyme benafsheich. That, okay, so you're not excommunicated, but you've clearly been rebuked by him. Go and practice the customs of nezifa one day yourself. Continues the Gemara. Zutra bar tuvia. Have a koposik sidra kameder of Yehuda. This Zutra bar tuvia was citing psukim before of Yehuda. Kimoto lahai psukah. When they reach the following pasuk, the pasuk says, "Va'ele divrei David ho'achroinim," and this is a pasuk in Shmuel Beis in Perek Chof Gimel. The beginning of Perek Chof Gimel, it says that these are the final words of David HaMelech. Omar Le, so Rav Yehuda said, "Achroinim mechlal de'ikar rishonim." It was probably Zutra. Zutra said this to to Rav Yehuda, that from these words of Ve'ele Divrei David Ha'achreinim, these are the final words, the last words of David, it would seem Mechlal De'ikar Rishonim, it would seem that in this context, he'd actually said something previously. Rishonim Ma'ininu. Where do we find that David HaMelech, he said something previously with Nevuah? The words Dvorim, Divrei David, they seem to be prophecy. So he gave a prophecy here, but where do we find the previous prophecy? Shosik, Rav Yehuda didn't answer. Hodar Omale, again Zutra, said to Rav Yehuda the same question. Achreinim, from the fact that it says that these were the last words of David, Michlal de'ikar Rishonim. It seems that there was a previous prophecy. Rishonim Maihi, what would that be? Omale, now Rav Yehuda responded to Zutra and said, "My datcha, what are you thinking? Deloyoda pirusha dehaikra, just because I don't know how to explain this posuk to you, lav gavarabuhu, means that I'm not a great person? Yoda denokit milsa bedaite." So Zutra understood that Rav Yehuda held it against him. He held it against him. He asked the same question a second time. What are you pushing for? As if, okay, so I didn't explain it to you. I don't know how to explain it to you. That's fine. So, and Zutra felt that Rav Yehuda held it against him. Noag nezifusa b'nafshei chad yoyma, and this Zutra he practiced nezifa for a day. But once we've come to this pasuk, now that in the context of nezifa and in this sugya we've come to this pasuk, and Zutra asked a good question to Rav Yehuda, then how are we going to deal with it? He asked a good question. Achreinim mechral de'ikar rishonim, rishonim mayhi. He's right. If it says Divrei David Achreinim, it seems that there was a previous prophecy. What's going on? Says the Gemara. That it says in another pasuk, and this is actually a perek earlier in Shmuel Beis. It's not perek Chof Gimel; it's the beginning of perek Chof Beis. What does it say? A perek earlier, Vaidabir David Lashem, Hashem David Amelech spoke to Hashem as Divrei Hashira Azois, the words of this song, Beyoim Hitzil Hashem Oisai. When Hashem saved him, Mikaf Kol Oyevov, from the hands of his enemies, Umikaf Shaul, and from the hands of Shaul. And Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid, Hashem responded to David HaMelech. David, I don't understand. You, David HaMelech, Shira Toimer, you're singing a song, Al Mapolosoi, Shel Shaul, on the downfall of Shaul. Il Mole Ato Shaul, Vuhu David, is, and in this particular situation, you, David HaMelech, have a very specific muzzle protecting you and making sure that you survive Shaul, because you're the one that has to set up the Malchus Beis David. But putting that aside, if you would be Shaul and Shaul would be you, that means if you would be a David without the particular muzzle that you have, without the particular Ashgocha that you have because of who you have to be, if not for that, you wouldn't have survived Shaul. Shaul was much greater than you. If we were to look at Shaul and you, David, in and of your own, Shaul was greater than you. And yes, you survived Shaul, but you shouldn't be singing at his downfall. Il mole ato Shaul, were you to be Shaul, who David, and he would be David, without your particular mazel, ibadeti kamo David miponov, and numerous Davids would have fallen before the greatness of Shaul. Hainu dechsiv. And that's what it says in a pasuk in Tehillim. Shigoyin le David. The word shigoyin could mean a mistake. That shigoyin le David, he made a mistake. Asher shor l'Hashem, that he sang to Hashem al divrei Kush ben Yamini, referring to Shaul, as we're about to see. That when he sang a song about Kush, which was a name of Shaul. So coming back to the original question, when it says Eile divrei David ha'achreinim, what David was actually telling us, he was saying, in the previous chapter, in Perichov Beis, there I was singing at Shaul's downfall. I regret that. I made a mistake. Actually, I shouldn't have done that, because Shaul was very, very great. And where did David HaMelech elaborate on the fact that Shaul was great? And that is in this pasuk in Tehillim, where it says Divrei Kush ben Yamini, where he referred to Shaul as Kush, and the Gemara says V'chi Kush Shemoi, was his name Kush, V'alei Shaul Shemoi, his name was Shaul. Elomar Kushi, in the same way as a Kushite, as a Kushi. Mishuna, he's unusual, he's unique, Bo'oiroi, with the color of his skin. Af Shaul, so to Shaul, Mishuna B'maisov, he was very unique with his deeds, he was a very great tzaddik. Kiyotze B'dova, to Omer, we find a similar context of this word Cush, when it says in the Pasuk, Vatadabir Miriam va'Aaron b'Moshe al oidois ha'isho ha'kushis, then they were speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, they referred to her as the Isha Kushis Asher Lokoch, Ki Isha Kushis Lokoch was referring to Moshe's wife Tzipora as an Isha Kushis. Asks the Gemara, V'chi Kushis Shema, was her name Kushis? V'aloi Tzipora Shema, her name was Tzipora. Elo ma Kushis Meshuna Bo'eroi, in the same way as a Kushis is unusual with her skin, Af Tzipora, so to Moshe's wife Tzipora, Meshuna B'maseah was very unique with her deeds. Ki Yotze B'davar, another example of this, Ato Omer, who says in the Pasuk in Yirmiah, V'yishma Eved Melech HaKushi, the slave of the Melech HaKushi, the king, which is referred to as Kushi, heard V'chi Kushi Shmoi, was the name of the king Kushi, V'aloi Tzidkia Shmoi, the name of the king referred to there in the Pasuk was Tzidkia. Eloma Kushi Meshuna Bo'eroi, Av Tzidkia Meshuna B'maisov, because Tzidkia was so unique in his ways, therefore he was referred to as Melech HaKushi. Ki Yotze B'davar Ato Imer, the Pasuk says, in Omois, Haloi Kivnei Kushim Atem Li, Bnei Yisrael. Nu'um Hashem. Hashem was referring to Klal Yisrael as Bnei Kushim. V'chi Kushim Shimon? Are Klal Yisrael called Kushim? V'alo Yisrael Shimon? We're called Bnei Yisrael. Elo ma Kushim Meshuna Bo'eroi, Af Yisrael Meshunim B'maseh Mikolo Omois. Klal Yisrael's deeds, the actions stand out and are unique over those of the other nations, and therefore Hashem referred to them as Bnei Kushim. Continues the Gemara. Omer Shmuel ben Nachmeni Omer Bjoinason. Mai dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, and this is going back to the Pasuk that we mentioned before at the beginning of Perichov Gimel of Shmuel Beis, Ve'ele divrei David ha'achroinim, Nu'um David ben Yishai, says David the son of Yishai, Unu'um ha'gever, says the man, Hukam ol, who he upheld, the ol, we'll soon see what that means, Mashiach Elokei Yaakov Ne'im Zmiris Yisrael, says the Gemara, Nu'um David ben Yishai, Unu'um ha'gever, Hukam ol, what does that mean? It means Nu'um David ben Yishai, David the son of Yishai was the one that was speaking, Shehekim, he set up, he upheld the ula, the benefits shel tshuva, the yoke, the benefits of repentance of tshuva. Omar Elokei Yisrael, it says in that same perek Chav Gimel, two psukim later, it says, Omar Elokei Yisrael, li diber tzur Yisrael. That means David HaMelech was saying that Elokei Yisrael, the God of Klal Yisrael, said, li diber, to me spoke tzur Yisrael, the rock of Klal Yisrael, Moishel Bo'odom, the ruler over men, over man. Tzadik Moishel, the righteous rules. Yiras Elikim, through the fear of Hashem. And here we have a contradiction. Who's the ruler? First you say that Hashem is the Moishel Bo'odom, and then you say Tzadik Moishel, that it's the Tzadik that is ruling. Maiko Omar. So who's the ruler? What does Tavid HaMelech mean? Omar Rabavo responded to Revol said, Omar Elokei, Omar, David HaMelech said as follows, Omar Elokei Yisrael, Li Diber Tzur Yisrael. This is the first words of the Pasuk. Ani, says Hashem, Moishel Ba'odom, I rule over men, as it says, Moishel Ba'odom. Me Moishel be, so to speak, put into the Pasuk that Hashem is saying, what is the power, so to speak, that I allow to override my power, so to speak? Tzadik, that is that of a tzadik, she'ani goyiz, Hashem says that I can make a decree, and ani goyiz gzeira, I can make a decree, umavatlo, and the tzadik can cancel it. That is the power that I, Hashem, have given to the tzadik, that the tzadik can override the decrees of Hashem. Continues the Gemara with the next pasuk, a few psukim later in Perichov Gimel in Shmuel Beis, Eile Shmois Hagiboyrim, these are the names of the mighty men, Asher le David, that were to David, Yoishev Basheves, they were sitting in an assembly, Tachkamoini, Roish HaSholishi, Hu Adinoi Hoetzni, Al Shmoina Meis Cholol, Bepam Echos. So we've got a number of words here which are not so clear. They sound like names, or we'll soon see, of these strong men. that and al shmoina meis cholol bepamachas, which means that he was standing on 800 corpses at once, which means he managed to kill 800 people in one shot. These were the strength of David HaMelech's army. Maika Omar, what's going on? How do we understand this pasuk? Omar bavo, Rav said hachik Omar. Ve'ele or ele shmois hagiboyrim. What does it mean? Giboyrim gvuroisov shel David, the strengths of David HaMelech. Asher le David. Yoishev Basheves. What does it mean? Basheves was sitting in a low position. What does that mean? Bashar Shahya Yoishev Beyeshiva, when David was sitting and learning Torah in the yeshiva, Loihoya Yoishev al Gabi Korim Makistos. He wasn't sitting on mattresses and pillows and cushions. Elo al Gabi Karka, he would sit on the ground. Why? To call Kamo Dahavi Rabbi. All the time that David HaMelech's Rebbe, Iroi Hayo Iri, that was his name, Kayim was still alive, Have Masni Lul Rabbonon, it was Iroi Hayo Iri who was teaching the Chachomim, Al Gabi Korim Makistos, and therefore he was sitting on mattresses and cushions. And David HaMelech was being taught together with all the other Chachomim on the ground. Kinoch Nafshei, when his Rebbe Iroi Hayo Iri passed away, Have Masni David Lerabonon, it was now David HaMelech who became the teacher of the Chachomim, and nonetheless Have Yosef Al Gabi Karka. He didn't take up the position of sitting on the mattresses and the cushions, he sat on the ground, on a lower place. Omrulei, they said to David HaMelech, Leisev Mar, our master, you should be sitting. Now that you're the teacher, you should be sitting at Korim Vekisos. And David HaMelech nonetheless did not accept it. So that's the Basheves, which was a pride of David HaMelech, who humbly was teaching Torah from a very humble place, from a low place. What's the next word in the pasuk? Tach kamoini. Omarav, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem answered him, Hoyel v'shpalta atzmecha, because you lowered yourself, you humbled yourself, Tia kamoini. Tach kamoini. Right? You're going to be like me. Sha'ani goyzer gezeira v'atom v'atlo. That when I, Hashem, are going to make a decree, you, David HaMelech, will have the power to cancel it. The next words, Roish HaSholishi. What does that mean? Roish HaSholishim, Tehei Roish L'Shloishes. Obviously, you, David HaMelech, are going to be the leader of the three fathers of Rav Yitzchak V'Yaakov, that in Olam Habo, you're going to be going before them. The next words in the Pasuk, Hu Adinoi Ho'etzni. There's something about David HaMelech that was Adin, which was very bendable, and there was something about him that was very wood-like, or etzni. When David was sitting learning Torah, he will bend himself like a worm. But when he would go out to war, he would harden himself like wood. That he would be standing over 800 corpses that he'd killed in one shot. Shahoyo Zoyrik Chet, David HaMelech could shoot an arrow, Umapil Shmoino Meis Cholol, and the single arrow would penetrate 800 people in one shot, Bepam Achas. Vahoy Misaneach, and David HaMelech would sigh, Al Mosayim, because he was hoping that, and had he been on the right level, we'll soon see, he would have managed to kill 1,000 in one shot. Tchsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, in the Chumash, Eicho Yirdoif Echod Elef, that when the right level, then a single person can kill 1,000. Yotza Baskel V'omra, a heavenly voice came out and said, and this is a pasuk in Melachim, Asha Osa David Esayosha Beine Hashem V'lei Sor Mikoyle Asha Tzivau Kol Yimei Chayov, that David HaMelech didn't steer away from anything Hashem said, Rak B'dvar Uriah HaChiti, there was one lone incident regarding Uriah HaChiti, which is discussed in the Novi, and because of that, the power of David HaMelech's arrow only penetrated and killed 800 people, not 1,000. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.